You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 63. And did you know that 63 is the international calling code for the Philippines and Pope Francis just left the Philippines? Interesting connection. Anyway, here's episode 63. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And this week, we're going to look at a question. Is it hard to be a Christian, or is it easy to be a Christian? We're going to look what Jesus says, plus all the tip of the week and much more. Well, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about a question that is at the heart of the gospel, the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that is it difficult or easy to be a Christian? Maybe to even amplify it a little bit, is it difficult to be a Catholic with all the extra teachings we have and, you know, no fish on Fridays and, you know, no sex before marriage, and even when you get married, you can't contracept. Is it hard to be a Catholic? Is it hard to be a Christian? Do people on the outside who aren't Christians look at the lives of Christians and say, that looks too hard. I don't want to pay that price. Or is there something easy about Christianity? Is being Catholic easier than not being a Catholic? So today we're going to explore that. I'm just going to give you a heads up. I think it's easier than it is harder. And I'm going to explain why, and we're going to look at a passage in the Gospels where our Lord Jesus Christ talks a little bit about that. But before we jump into our featured segment, we usually talk about our proverb of the week. And this week I did just like last week. I reached into the book of Sirach, the book of Ecclesiasticus. And this quote comes from Sirach 25, verses 5 through 6. And by the way, we have a lot of Protestant listeners as well. So if you are not a Catholic and you're using a Protestant Bible, you're not going to find these verses from Sirach, also known as Ecclesiasticus, two names, same book, because those books were removed by Martin Luther 500 years ago. So if you want to find these verses, you need to find a Catholic Bible. And in a Catholic Bible, you'll find seven extra books. One of those books is Sirach, also known as Ecclesiasticus. Not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus. So this week's Proverb of the Week comes from Sirach, chapter 25, verses 5 through 6. And it tells us something somewhat surprising. Quote, "Wisdom is like the beauty of old men, and in those who are glorious, it is understanding and counsel. The crown of old men is great experience, for their boast is the fear of the Lord." End quote. Okay, so it starts off by saying wisdom is like the beauty of old men. Pause. Are old men beautiful? That should be the question that comes to mind, right? Do we think of old men as beautiful, as attractive? Well, in Jewish culture, this, by the way, this verse is from the Old Testament. In the Israelite tradition, the most amount of reverence that you could gain within the community was due to your age. The older you were, the more respected you were. And we see this, by the way, in the book of 2 Maccabees, where there's an old man and he's asked to eat swine's flesh. By the way, 2 Maccabees is another one of those seven books only in the Catholic Bible. An old man is asked to eat swine's flesh, and he refuses. And so they say, well, hey, here, take some kosher meat, eat it, but pretend you're eating swine flesh, pork, and then we won't kill you because you're an old man. And he says, no, no, no. Listen, I have lived all of these years, all of these decades. I think he was in his 70s. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the passage. I've lived all these decades in fulfillment of God's commands, out of charity, and I'm not going to deceive my fellow Israelites, even if it's kosher meat. I'm not going to deceive them in thinking that I broke the law, because he's an elder of the Jews. He's an elder of Israel. So the Old Testament people believed that being older was associated with beauty and wisdom. And this is because they were not as vain as we are in the West living in the third millennium. You know, we think beauty is looking like a 16-year-old boy or a 16-year-old girl, having that body type and having that youth or having that skin. But in a supernatural worldview, beauty is associated with wisdom. And wisdom is usually gained over time through experience. So our proverb this week, Sirach 25, 5 through 6, says, "Wisdom is like the beauty of old men and those who are glorious. It is understanding and counsel." So why is wisdom like the beauty of old men? Because it's associated with understanding and counsel. And I want to focus especially on that second part, counsel. We need, you need, you who are listening to this podcast, you need counsel or advice from older people. You need people who have lived decades more than you, who have seen businesses go bankrupt. They've seen people ruin their life through alcoholism. They've seen marriages fail. Maybe they've seen all these things happen to themselves. They've seen children raised from infancy into adulthood. They have a perspective on all sorts of things. And we, if we are wise, if we are prudent, if we have the beauty that's talked about here, we will seek their counsel and their understanding. This is a prudent thing to do. This is what Sirach is asking us to do. Then it goes on to say in the next part, the crown of old men is great experience, which is what we just said. So think of an old man, think of an older holy man you know, and then think of a crown on his head. Written on that crown is the words, great experience. Great experience. Now, all of us want to have experiences in our life. We don't want to have a dull life. We don't just want to sit around and let life pass us by. We want to be heroes. We want to be saints. We want to be champions of the poor and the widow and those who've been cast out. You can think of what Our Lady said in the Magnificat. We want to live life to the fullest, an abundant life, as Jesus says. Older people have lived life, sometimes greatly, sometimes not so well. But their great experience is something that we need to tap into. And then the end of this section, this verse says, "For their boast is the fear of the Lord." So the pious and godly old man, and by extension, old women, older women, and by the way, in this context, in Jewish culture, probably anyone who's over 50, because remember, life expectancy was much lower back then, is going to classify here. So, hey, you know, 50 is the new 40. I know that, right? And so on and so forth. So don't feel like you're being called old here, but do realize your experience is being called beauty and glory and understanding and counsel. And younger people, teenagers especially, we read this all throughout the Proverbs, need to seek the counsel and advice of older people. So there it is, Sirach 25, verses 5 through 6. Remember, wisdom is the beauty of old man. Okay, so we're going to jump into our featured segment, and that's this question we asked at the very beginning. Is being a Christian easy or is it hard? If you're like me, I usually think more about how hard it is. I look around and I play the comparative game. And we've talked about this in a previous podcast. I can't remember which episode. But anytime you play the comparative game, the devil is on the sidelines with his pom-poms cheering. Because the comparative game is one of the best ways for the devil to discourage you. You know, you can think of all the demons training the other demons. Hey, if you've got a person who loves God, who's trying to live a life of grace, just get them to play the comparison game. So when I play the comparison game, I look around at my neighbors or people I work with or people I see at church or people who are more successful than me or who have nicer things than me, or it could be a spiritual comparison. You know, that person is, you know, wow, they go to daily mass every day and they read the Bible every day and they're praying the rosary every day, and they do, you know, an hour and a half of mental prayer every day. And you compare yourself and you're like, man, I'm not very spiritual, or I'm not very successful. I'm not a very good husband. I'm not a very good wife. I'm not a good student. I'm never going to make it in this world. And you start beating yourself down because you're comparing yourself. And what we learned before is you should never compare yourself to other people, because God has created you uniquely. You have unique crosses specifically built by Christ, the son of the carpenter, just for you. From all eternity, he was in his carpenter's mind designing your crosses. And along with the crosses, he was designing perfect graces to correspond with each cross. That way you would always have provision no matter what happens. And the reason he did all of this is so that you could excel and grow and become what St. Paul says, glorified in Christ. Our glorification is our becoming perfectly united with the person of Jesus Christ, so that we might experience the divine essence of the Trinity, the beatific vision. Now, that was a bunch of mumbo-jumbo for some of you, but what it means is the more we cooperate with God's graces and overcome these crosses, and we overcome them, by the way, by getting under them and carrying them, the higher our place in heaven will be. Of course, everyone in heaven is equal, in a sense. Everyone has access to God. Everyone is happy. Everyone has a supernatural vision. But the church teaches us, and even Christ says in the Gospels, there will be those who are greater in the kingdom and those who will be lesser. And St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that we have a greater appreciation or a greater vision of the beatific vision depending on the state of our soul at death. So those who have lived well and loved greatly at the moment of death will have a greater participation in the vision of God than those who didn't. So what we're striving for here, and by the way, if you get to heaven, you'll be perfectly happy, but you can be greater or lesser in the kingdom. And again, this doesn't mean we compare ourselves and say, well, am I above or below this person? No, it requires complete humility. You say, no, God has laid out these crosses for me. He has laid out all of these graces, specific graces, so that I can overcome in this world. I can be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, as St. Paul says. Now, some of you may think, well, I've really messed up. God, you know, had a plan for me. I totally screwed it up. You know, I've committed all these mortal sins. I've broken the fifth commandment. I've broken the sixth commandment. I've broken the seventh commandment. I've broken the first commandment. I'm all over the map. I'm so sinful. Any plan God had for me is gone. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to one of those popular podcasts we've ever done. And that is, oh, what's it called? All right, here we go. Did you miss God's plan for your life? Episode 21, Taylor Marshall Show. So just go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast, go to episode 21. Did you miss God's plan for your life? There you will see that even if you missed a plan, God, who is infinite and all powerful, can create even better plans along the way. There's a new plan, and God knows all of this. He's eternal. He's outside time. So if you want to learn more about that and you want to be encouraged that you have not missed God's plan for your life, please listen to episode 21. Did you miss God's plan for your life? Okay, so back to, is it easy or hard? So I think about, you know, all the things I'm missing out on. You know, I think, oh, you know, I've got 7 kids. By the time I can even begin to fill up those bank accounts, you know, I'm, you know, that guy over there, he's got a really cool truck and he's got a Corvette and, you know, they got that house over there and their kids are going to that school. And, you know, if I didn't have 7 kids, if I had 2 kids like everyone else, then we could do this and we could do that. And you start thinking about all this and you start thinking, man, being a Christian is so hard. If I weren't a Christian, I could do this and we could go there and, you know, I would have been all over Europe and, you know, Joe and I'd be sitting on a beach somewhere in Thailand drinking pina coladas and life would be good. And so sometimes I get into that little cycle in my head, kind of circling around. And that makes me think, man, being a Christian, being a Catholic, It's tough. It's a hard knock. Man, it's like, you know, Jesus says, take the wide way or the narrow way. The narrow way is what leads to eternal life. I'm on the narrow way, and it's tight, and there's thorns, and I don't have any shoes on, and it's tough, and everybody else is having fun and partying and being successful and drinking a lot and so on and so forth, whatever it is. And so we start to think that being a Christian is difficult. But what I want to challenge you today to think about is being a Christian, and specifically, I mean, I'm a Catholic. This is kind of a Catholic show. Being a Catholic is easier than the alternative. It's easier to be a Christian than not to be a Christian. And to make my case, I'm going to pull out the Bible. I'm opening up here to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew wrote the first gospel, probably in college or seminary or grad school. They taught you that Mark wrote the first gospel and Matthew copied it later, or not really Matthew, someone allegedly Matthew. That's all baloney. St. Augustine shows us that Matthew wrote the first gospel. It's the universal tradition of the church, East and West. And there's good reason to believe that. So here we are in Matthew, and I'm looking at chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. I'm going to read the whole thing because it's important. So just close your eyes and listen to this. Unless you're driving in the car, don't close your eyes if you're driving in the car. But if you're not in a car or operating machinery or jogging, don't. If you're jogging, don't close your eyes. But anything besides jogging and driving, close your eyes and listen to this. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, so the first part there, we see that Jesus Christ, second person in the Trinity, incarnate of the Blessed Mother, he thanks God that he has revealed these things, the mystery of the kingdom, to those who are simple, to the infants. He says, no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father. And then he says, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So the Son is the one who reveals the Father to us. And then, first of all, that's a huge privilege, by the way, that we get to know the Father of all mercies. We get to know Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in our heart. Just think about that. God inside of you. Do you believe that's true? Really, do you believe when you're driving to work or when you're walking on the sidewalk or sitting at a ball game or sitting in church, God is inside you? Through baptism, you have an indelible character on your soul. It's God's mark on you. And if you're in a state of sanctifying grace, you have the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. Okay, but that's all kind of extract. Let's get right into the meat of this verse. Then Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does he mean here? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that all who labor and are heavy laden incorporates everyone in the world. Everyone's working hard to be beautiful and be rich, to be powerful. They're spinning their wheels. A lot of those people become famous. They become millionaires and billionaires, and some of them even kill themselves. Most of them, especially in Hollywood, it seems, to have kind of bad marriages and dysfunctional relationships, and a lot of them, you know, have problems with addiction and drugs and alcohol. Why is that? Well, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, not Ecclesiasticus, Ecclesiastes, that the striving for all these pleasures and power and wealth is vain. It's all vanity. It's working really hard to get nothing. And so Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. You have all these burdens, all these things you want to accomplish for the world's sake. And I will give you rest. And don't we all want rest? You know, you talk to people at work or, you know, at a restaurant. How's it going? Oh, I'm just so tired. Everybody wants rest. Everybody's working too hard, it seems. Jesus promises it. And I think the question for us before we answer is being a Christian easy or hard is, can Jesus really give me rest? Can he give me like the shalom rest, the peaceful rest? Because he's not just talking about taking a nap. He's talking about your soul becoming quiet and still and calm. There are times in my life when I have this shalom rest, this peace, and then there are times when I lose it and I don't have it, and that's usually when I'm unhappy. But when I'm close to the Lord and I come to him, I have this rest, and it's the best feeling in the whole world. You know, it beats sex and drugs and alcohol and concerts and parties and fancy cars and sitting on the beach. Then Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So he says, take your yoke upon me. Now, yoke, he's not talking about egg yolks, like the yellow thing in the egg. He's talking about a yoke. It's a wooden thing that's placed upon the shoulders of animals, usually oxen. And Christ, who's the son of, not the natural son, but the stepson of a carpenter, probably made a lot of these yokes. Carpenters, you know, they made houses and chairs, but one of the things people really need in the old days were yokes. And yokes broke, just like all tools. So I'm sure Joseph and Jesus built yokes together, so he's familiar with it. And a yoke usually goes on two animals. It yokes them together. It joins them. And so I was reading this passage just the other day, and it had never struck me until I read it this time, because I always thought of, you know, Christ putting a yoke on me that was gentle and light, and I could carry it. It was still a burden, but I had to carry it. But then I remembered, no, yokes usually are two at a time, two oxen. So then I thought, okay, I'm in the yoke. Who's in the other yoke, the other side of the yoke? Who's pulling it with me? And of course, the answer is Jesus. So just as Jesus and Simon of Cyrene carried the cross together to Calvary, a wooden cross, so we carry a wooden yoke or a wooden cross together. So this is why we can have rest. It hit me like, oh, he's saying you're not alone. He's like, your yoke might be wooden. It may look thick and big and heavy, but guess what? I'm next to you carrying the weight. The next part says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So does Jesus say you're going to have to carry something? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be burdened? Yes. And you have to do things that you don't want to do? Yes. That's right. He's going to ask you to do things that you would not normally do naturally. But he's going to give you supernatural power to do it. But the key here is that he's going to give us rest. And he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, if we walk with Jesus, if we walk with the Lord, our lives are going to have an interior peace. So even if we don't become super rich and we don't become a movie star and we don't, you know, one day have the family that we always hoped, or we don't get the vocation that we thought we had, whatever it is, all the circumstances of life that bring us disappointment and discouragement, or when we compare ourselves to other people, he says that if we come to him, no matter what, there's no condition in this passage, he will give you rest. And then ask yourself, is there any other source of rest in this world besides the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, the mediator between God and man? And the answer is no. So if you don't have Christ, you're not going to have a supernatural peace. You're not going to have rest. And that means you're going to be miserable. Yes, you can medicate it. You know, you can snort a line of cocaine. You know, you can drink a bunch of whiskey. You can get a bunch of women or hire some prostitutes. Or you can work, you know, really hard and try to get on Broadway or, you know, become a movie star. Or you can work extra time and try to become really rich and get the house in a certain neighborhood. But at the end of those days, you're not going to have this rest. What Jesus calls here, rest for your soul. So I would suggest to you that being a Christian is easier than it is not being a Christian. It's not easy all by itself, but compared to the alternative, it's a life of joy, a life of patience, a life of meaning, and, as Jesus says, a life of peace. And ultimately, I think that's what you want, and it's what I want, and honestly, it's what everybody on earth wants. As St. Augustine says, and we'll close with this, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in Thee. Find Jesus, come to Him, find rest in Him. Okay, that's our featured segment. We've got a great tip of the week this week. I'm really excited to share it with you. It's a book recommendation, a really great book recommendation, and a Latin word of the week, which is going to relate to this idea of peace and rest that we've just talked about, the Latin word, a verb relating to that. But before we get into the tip of the week and our Latin word of the week, just a couple announcements. Again, a big shout out to everyone who joined New St. Thomas Institute. Welcome. It's been a lot of fun. We have a new video lesson up. What is apologetics? We talk about how apologetics fits into Catholic theology and how it incorporates not only philosophy and biblical theology and systematic theology, but also it incorporates logic and rhetoric, because you can learn a lot of theology and be book smart, but if you can't persuade someone across the table with charity, you can't really do apologetics. Apologetics always entails that there's a physical person who disagrees with you, who's challenging you. So you need to be equipped not only theologically, but you need to be equipped spiritually and rhetorically. So we talk a little bit about that in today's video lesson. And last week, we went through the tools of the Catholic apologist. We talked about which Bible versions to get, which resources to get, recommended books, software, all kinds of things that Catholics can use to grow and really grow fast. You know, this doesn't take years and years and years. These are just simple resources, many of which are free, many of which are very inexpensive. By getting them, you're going to be light years ahead of where you were previously. So if you're a member, if you're a muskox of the New St. Thomas Institute, make sure you check out these two recent video lessons. I think you're really going to enjoy them. Also, we are going to leave up Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages till the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, which is on January 28th. I'm really excited every year to celebrate his feast day. And after that, I think we're going to go ahead and release Augustine in 50 pages. It's kind of the sequel to St. Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. And I'm going to make that available to all of you for free. So if you haven't got that free book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages, head over to taylormarshall.com and download it. It's in the right-hand corner. Okay, tip of the week. Tip of the week is a recommended Bible resource. It's the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. And this has been coming out in little booklets over the past few years, but they finally have bound it together in a hardback version that has Matthew through the book of Revelation. And I've purchased the little parts of it, but now that it's all together, I got the full New Testament. Unfortunately, the Old Testament's not printed yet. And I've just been so excited about it. I've been reading through the New Testament. The RSV Catholic Edition is not my favorite translation, which is what this is. I like the Douay-Rheims, but it's good. And the notes are fantastic. As you know, Scott Hahn helped out with it. And the notes are wonderful because they not only incorporate a lot of Old Testament citations, but they also quote the church fathers and the catechism in the notes below the scripture texts. So it's extremely, extremely useful. And I've just been keeping it on my desk at work, and I open it up and I use it for study when I take breaks. So I would encourage you to go on Amazon. We'll put a link in the show notes just so you can click on it. So if you're listening to this on TaylorMarshall.com, just scroll down a couple inches and you'll see a link. Just click on that. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. It's the New Testament only. And I would really recommend it. Get the hardback version. It's actually quite pretty. They did gold touches on it. So there it is. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. Tip of the week. I think I'm going to really enjoy this next year. Getting to know this new Bible, this New Testament. And I look forward to the Old Testament as well. And by the way, I don't get paid to say any of this. I just think it's an awesome book. Okay. The Latin word of the week is... Oh, wait. Usually before the Latin word of the week, I give a shout-out to people who rated the podcast. So if you like this podcast, please head over to iTunes to rate it. It helps people find this podcast because it makes this Catholic podcast go up in rank in the Christian podcast. And there's a lot of goofy Christian podcasts out there. So if you'd like people to find the Taylor Marshall Show and start listening, head over to iTunes, search Taylor Marshall Show or Taylor Marshall Catholic Show. It'll come up, and then hit write a review or leave a rating. You can do a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. Just be honest. Always love the 5-star, but whatever you got, I love it. I'll be thankful. It means a lot to me. And so I want to send a shout out to Reb Maloney, left a 5-star review and some wonderful comments. And Sun City Tom, he left a 5-star review and a great comment here, especially about last week's podcast about eschatology and the Antichrist and the tribulation. And then also a shout out to Friar Gabriel Mary. He gave a 5-star, and I want to read his review here because it really encouraged me. Friar Gabriel Mary writes, Ave Maria, I just started listening to this podcast and absolutely love it. Dr. Marshall does such an excellent job communicating the truths of our faith, tips on life, and really whatever subject he covers in a fun, attractive, and uplifting way, while at the same time delivering nothing but solid content. And then he goes on a little bit, but I just want to thank you for that. That's what that review right there just warms my heart. That's what I'm trying to do here. We're trying to put together the Catholic faith, make it upbeat, make people realize that it's a joy, it's a privilege, it's a blessing to know Jesus Christ, that we shouldn't be bummed out, we shouldn't be dour, but that as we study theology, as we learn more and more about our faith, as we become deeper Christians, as we enter more into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we're going to have more peace, we're going to have more joy, we're going to have more enthusiasm, and guess what? That means other people around us are going to convert and get to know Jesus. And that's what Jesus called us to do. Okay, so Latin word of the week, and then we'll wrap up. Latin word of the week is a verb, requiesco. Requiesco. Infinitive, requiescere. And it means to rest, to quiet down, to be at peace. And we say this, you know, you see R.I.P. on a tombstone in cartoons and whatnot, rest in peace, or in Latin, requiescat in pace. Rest in peace. You know, it might be kind of morbid to think this, but that could or should be the motto of our lives. Not because we want to be dead, but that our entire lives, just like we read in Matthew's gospel today, that we want to rest in peace. Peace. Every single day, 365 days a year, 12 months a year, we should be resting in peace. And the only way we can do that is if we come to Jesus. As he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Well, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope this week that you're pumped up, that you love Jesus, that you're ready to be at peace, you're ready to be at rest in him. Only he can give it to you. And when you get that peace, and when you find that rest, other people will be attracted to what's in you. They'll be attracted to Jesus. So remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. See you later, guys. God bless. Episode 63, in the books.
This podcast was brought to you by the New St. Thomas Institute. Discover online Catholic classes and earn your certificate in Catholic theology at the New St. Thomas Institute. To register for online Catholic classes, please visit newstthomas.com. That's newstthomas.com.